Hi there, this is Brian from the No Name Nerd Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of Where All Nerds Belong, the site of the best freaking community of nerds on the internet. My goal in this podcast is to provide meaningful and substantively useful information that will help nerds who are trying to grow their online presence and pursue personal fulfillment through their passion for nerd and geek activities. I'm here to help nerd culture grow and to help you nerds make the world a little more nerdy, and I believe better as a result. Hi there, this is Brian from the No Name Nerd, hopefully renewing a more regular podcast after a couple weeks off, which was mostly me slacking off. But I'm joined today with our first interview in a while, and I have Rob Miller, the director of Stream for a Cause, here to talk to you guys about his organization and, you know, and maybe share a little bit about his personal experiences gaming and streaming. And I think it's another great opportunity to share with the community, I think, an organization that I've been getting to know recently and I think doing some great things and really making a difference for a lot of nonprofit organizations as well as streamers out there. So welcome to the podcast, Rob.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
So I already confessed to him that I'm going into this without a whole lot of preparation. So we'll just let it roll. And I'm confident because we've chatted a few times before that we'll come up with interesting things to say for the No Name Nerd community. But maybe we can start out with you just sharing a little bit about yourself and sharing a little bit about Stream for a Cause.
Well, absolutely. So like you said, my name is Rob Miller. I'm the executive director of Stream for a Cause. I have always found myself to be a gamer, kind of like a nerdy fringe person, which I like. I like living out here on the fringe. And Stream for Cause is an amazing organization. We are a nonprofit that is based in Michigan. And what we do is we recognized some time ago that charity streams were an amazing opportunity to connect with people from all over the world, to connect them to causes that matter to you. But what we were seeing was that a lot of those nonprofits that were being targeted for those charity streams were already very large, very, very well funded. And those donations were drops in the buckets for their overall budgets. And what Stream for a Cause really aims to do is connect streamers to the ability to crowdfund and give more money than any one streamer raises on their own to a much smaller community-based organization where you're going to see a greater and more measurable impact dollar for dollar for what we're putting into it.
And I think that that is one of the reasons that whenever we've talked, I've always felt like your organization, the mission and structure of your organization has always resonated well with the No Name Nerd community, because I've said many times that we're sort of a community first and company second. And you know, many of the people out there are smaller streamers, and as of yet, we don't have anybody who is wildly famous, but I'm really looking for that person who suddenly has millions of followers to come back and be like, I started with the No Name Nerd. But I really enjoy like having that community focus and working with smaller streamers and people who are maybe a little bit more community oriented.
Yeah, I agree. When we're looking for streamers, first of all, we believe at Stream for a Cause that a streamer of any size can make a difference. I've had streamers with just 23 followers raise $200 in a charity stream, which was amazing. And when we think about what those dollars are going to do at the community level, $200 is very impactful. But even beyond that, we find that streamers that are more engaged with the community, it's hard once you're sitting at 1,000 viewers, 2,000, 3,000 viewers. How do you know all their names? How do you know what they like, what they don't like? How do you plan around that? And we found that streamers on the smaller to medium size, even smaller partner streamers, they just have this instinct for what their community really wants to see and what they're going to do with it. And I've seen them just take the idea of, I'm a small streamer, but I can still do big things, and they run with it. And it's actually really beautiful. I love being able to work with streamers of that size.
Well, I think that's a great point too, because I think there is a downside to scale, that, you know, the bigger you're following, the bigger the audience, that the harder it is sometimes to communicate with them, the more of a challenge it is to get to know them and maybe, you know, meet and address their personal needs. So can you give me some examples maybe of some nonprofits that Stream for a Cause has donated to, or that the people who are part of it have raised money for?
Yeah, absolutely. To date, we've donated to 26 unique nonprofits since our founding back in August. Well, actually, back in July. Our first charity stream was at the end of August. And in that time, we've been able to raise money for 26 different organizations. Some of those are related to pediatric cancer, like when we worked with Charity Gaming. So we were raising money. And what we were able to do is we were able to approach the director of Charity Gaming and say, what would you do if you had this influx of cash? Like, how would that affect what you want to do? And he was like, I have this amazing project that I would love to do where we want to be able to network all the different rooms for the pediatric cancer patients together so that they can actually play games with each other, with their friends, with other people who are outside. Because right now, especially during COVID, they weren't able to have visitors to their room. They weren't able to have interaction. They were basically in bed in their room all day with nothing to do. And so we were like, okay, done. So we threw a 48-hour raid-a-thon. And in that time, my 12 charity streamers were able to raise over $4,500 in a weekend. Yeah, yeah. And we were able to pay for those consoles to all be wired together. Each of the rooms was put out there. They were able to do amazing interactions with other players. They were able to actually play games with their friends again. And it was just, they got to feel like kids for just a minute with everything else going on in between all the tests and other, you know, crud that they have to deal with. We've worked with animal groups like All Species Kinship, which is also based right here in Battle Creek, like we are. They help with pet welfare. So they're driving around all the time in underserved neighborhoods. And what they're trying to do is just see what can we do to open the door to have that conversation about better pet care. They also do animal rehabilitation for waterfowl. So that was pretty cool as well. We let the missions that we select be driven by our community. So if our community streamers say, hey, this is something that's really important to me, we seriously look for an organization that that's going to connect with. Since we're always crowdfunding, since we're always raising money on a larger scale, we're able to apply those, you know, kind of at a glance. Maybe something that's really important to somebody isn't important. It's not a popular cause, but we're able to still crowdfund because of what we do. And then apply, you know, small grants to those places that maybe wouldn't get the attention otherwise because they're not something that people are familiar with. Yeah, so it's been really great.
Well, it seems to me that's part of the appeal of your organization is that you can sort of act as a bridge between streamers, even smaller streamers, and smaller organizations, and perhaps create more of a personal relationship between the streamer and the charity. Is that fair
to
say?
Yeah, absolutely. So I personally think that when we, as you know, as streamers, we put in a lot of time and planning and thought and consideration when we're doing a charity stream, right? We want to make sure that it's going to a good place. We want to make sure that it's being used appropriately. And really, as humans, we want to make sure that when we give our time and energy to something, it has meaning behind it. You don't want to just do it to do it. And I feel that with larger, you know, donating to a larger organization, you may not necessarily get that community feel. You might get, as a small streamer, maybe you raise $200 or $300. When you're looking at a place with a several billion dollar budget, they're not going to notice that. It's not going to be anything except an automated generated thank you email that's going to come back to you. But what we like to do at Stream for a Cause is because we're pooling 10, 15 streamers together raising $200 or $300. We're now giving a gift of $2,500, $3,000 to a smaller place. They send back things like handwritten thank yous. They're sending back pictures of those funds being used. We get to see videos of kids receiving the gaming systems. We get to see pictures of what the food basket looks like that families were getting or the mental health care resources. And we get to see that in action with a personalized thank you to the Stream for a Cause community, which is really, really great. It makes our streamers feel that they're part of something that's making a difference in a more meaningful way.
Now, I think that's an excellent service. And I think that's something that a lot of people want because I don't think it's just the desire for their money to help. In fact, I think we have almost all human beings fundamentally have this desire to help other people. But, you know, especially last year, but I think always, actually, there's a challenge in terms of knowing that that help is having a meaningful impact. And in fact, we've had some conversations within our community as people have looked for places to donate or places to raise money for. For lack of a better phrase, not all charities are created equal. And there's certainly some out there that are not really providing the benefits, or at least the level of benefits that they could be. So, I mean, does Stream for a Cause help with that when, you know, streamers are concerned about just making sure their money's going to the right place?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're working with a charity, what we do is, obviously, Stream for a Cause is a nonprofit. It doesn't mean that we get everything for free. So a portion of the money that we raise does stay with Stream for a Cause, but not a huge portion. It's actually very minimal. Just about 30% of the money that's raised is staying with us to continue doing the events. Like when we did that Halloween streamathon, we gave out to all of our streamers. They all had copies of their favorite horror games to give out. We did a lot of advertising for the event. We do all of that stuff. So that stuff's not free. So we do keep a portion of it for Stream for a Cause. But then, because of how we're working with these nonprofits, we're offering them sort of like a grant, right? And that grant means that we get to say where that money is going to be used in a way that aligns with what they're already doing. So we're able to cap that gift, as it can't include overhead. It can't include the parts that make you curious about an organization, like, well, I don't want to just pay for somebody's paycheck. And there's been multiple places that we've, you know, worked with where they say, hey, you know, I need this money to pay for my staff to stay on. And we say, well, that's not what we're donating for. We don't want to donate to direct service. We want to donate to programming. And since we have more of us together, we have a louder voice. We have a you know, larger numbers. We're able to kind of command their attention in a different way. And that means that we can guarantee that the money that we're investing in these small community nonprofits is being used in a way that would make our streamers proud to have contributed to that campaign.
Do you have any examples of things that maybe streamers have done to raise money or to get attention, or to, you mentioned the 48-hour stream. I'm just kind of curious if you have other examples of stuff streamers have done, because I know that people in our community are always interested in looking for creative ideas, or, you know, always ways to grow their audience and following, but I think also creative ways to engage in fundraising to give money back as well.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of things that we recommend that people take a look at when they're coming up with their incentives. We like to break down incentives into three different categories and then a fourth kind of bonus category. We're looking for people to have what's either a real life incentive, an in-game incentive, or a community incentive. And we provide lots of examples for each of those. And I'll go through a couple of them right now. A real life incentive could be something like, you know, I'm going to eat this chili pepper. if you donate $25, I'm going to eat a jalapeno on stream. And that receives a lot of attention, because people, I'm going to be honest, people sort of sometimes like to see a Zephyr on stream a little bit. They want to see that jump scare. They want to see what they're after is they want to see reactions to things that are happening. And that's a good enough reason for people to contribute. It's also a direct give and take. Like, you're asking for money and you're giving something back in the form of entertainment. So that works really well. Our in-game incentives, a great one that we've seen a lot of success with, and it's always really, really funny, reversing your controls. If you're playing with a console, flip your controller upside down in your hand and you're going to have to play that way for 5 or 10 minutes for a $5 or $10 donation. Or if you're playing on PC, cross your hands in front of you. Try moving WASD with your right hand if you're left-handed and you're trying to do everything backwards from what you're used to. It creates really good content on your stream because people are seeing you be silly and you're not so serious. It makes it fun and lighthearted. The final one that we like are community incentives. So if there's something that community really wants to see, you know, or if there's a game they really want to see you play, what a great way to inspire them to contribute is by rewarding them with that thing that they want, or even something as silly as a $5 or $10 gift card. People love to win things. People love to win things in raffles. So if you do a quick little gift card giveaway and everybody that's there is able to win, if we hit $100 raised, I'll give away a $5 gift card. People feel great about that. It's what we call a community incentive, which also ties into our last kind of like our bonus category of milestones. So if you are setting up, and a lot of you already do this, a lot of you have them set up for your sub goals or for whatever else that you do for your follow goals. When I hit X number of follows, I will do this. I will play Outlast. I will, dye my hair a certain color. You can apply those things to a charity stream as well. Horror streams make a great example of that.
One of our mods is about to do that, to dye her hair for a charity. Or maybe she just did. I should check. I can't remember. Breen was doing it. I know. She said she was going to look like a watermelon. That's all I remember.
Yeah, it's great. People love to see it. If you can get your chat even involved in picking the color, the more invested they are in the results, the better you are. And if you do a charity stream like that, if you do a charity stream and you set yourself up to be really, really successful with it, you're creating content for your future as well. Those milestone incentives, if you hit $200 raised, we're going to play Outlast. You're now going to have a whole group of people that are invested in now coming back to watch you play Outlast at a later stream, or maybe the next two or three streams, depending on how long it takes you to get through it. And now you're creating invested viewers who want to get on the return for what they did. They invested in you through your charity stream. Now they want to see what comes to fruition from that. So they're going to be at your later streams because they want to see you scream, really. Outlast is terrifying.
I like the suffering angle, I think, is an accurate one.
Yeah, well, you know, we all suffer for charity, I think, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
And that is a good example of, I think, some great tips on how to get people to donate. So if somebody, I know one of the questions I've heard before from some new streamers has to do with they are interested in maybe doing some fundraising, but they're not really sure where to get started. And maybe they've only recently gotten all their equipment and all their stuff set up to stream, and they're just starting out. What would be your recommendation? And certainly you're welcome to plug Stream for Cause as you wish. What would be your recommendations for how could they get started raising money, say raising money for Stream for a Cause or with Stream for a Cause?
Well, it's actually very simple. So you can go to our website and you can click the volunteer tab, that's streamforacause.org. Click volunteer right at the top and fill that out. We are very, very much believers that when we're working with people, we want it to have that small community feel. No matter how large Stream for a Cause gets, we want to make sure that we're still offering that one-on-one service. So if you are interested in doing charity streams, it's as simple as signing up. You sign up there. We have a little back and forth between email about, what Stream for a Cause is, what it's not. But once you're in there with our Discord, you're going to be meeting with hundreds of other charity streamers. But not only that, the Stream for a Cause staff is going to work with you one-on-one to plan a charity stream that's tailored to your community. Each charity stream that we work with usually has a few hours of staff time invested in making sure that, do you have incentives? Are they priced out properly? Are they going to, are they things that we know will work? How can we spice this up? Like, what's going to be the, just that one little incentive that's going to take your charity stream from being like, okay, to being amazing? And then we're with you every step of the way. So if you have questions about setting up the donation links, we get into a live call with you before you go live. We make sure that everything is set up. Your links are working properly. Your alerts are working properly. We've checked your Nightbot stuff for spelling errors even.
Wow, that's pretty good.
We want to make sure that you're feeling as confident going into it, because your charity stream doesn't have to just be about the pressures of doing something for other people. It should be a fun time that you get to enjoy spending with your community as well. You are leading it, but as a community, you're doing it. So make sure that you don't take the fun part out of it as well.
You know, what's really interesting about that is it reminds me of the advice that I've given to students at times where, especially if it's like college students and they're not really sure what they want to do with their lives. And they're, as I think most it, if you know what you're doing with your life in your early 20s, then you're lying. Like you got to open your brain, open your mind.
So true. More.
And so I've talked to a lot of people who are in this, for lack of a better phrase, exploration stage or trying stuff out stage. And I've actually said, if you're interested in a particular area, it can be really useful to volunteer as a starting point, because then you can learn the ropes in sort of a low stakes manner. And when you're talking about helping people set up their charity streams, I hope I'm not taking advantage of your services, but I see it as a really good opportunity for some people who are maybe just starting out streaming, where they can learn some of the ins and outs of just setting up a good stream while they're getting ready to do charity. And it's kind of like volunteering, where you can develop some skills that you can translate into a real job. I'm kind of seeing this as like, hey, you know, this is a great chance to work with Stream for a Cause, to brush up on your skills, get some pointers, get somebody to talk to for the charity, right? To raise money for an excellent cause. But at the same time, once you learn how to do something well, you're going to be able to translate and carry that forward into your regular stream as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Our streamers, a lot of times with their first charity streams, they start off and they need, you know, they have a ton of questions about how to do this and how to do that. It's not even rare anymore for them to say, hey, I'm doing a charity stream on this day. Like, the meeting went from taking an hour and a half to get everything worked out and planned. And the next time they do a charity stream, it's 10, 15 minutes, because they've been using that skill set that they maybe didn't know before. And now they're just like so quick at it. They're like, I'm going to plug in all the links, I'm going to get all these things. And it keeps growing. Their skills as streamers are really improving just as the process goes. And it's like a passive thing. It's just gaining that skill set while doing something good for other people.
I realize you guys only started last year, but I tend to like just make stuff up on the fly. This model that you're talking about, though, I mean, to me, it really could transition very easily into a train the trainer model.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Where
absolutely.
I can see this as developing multiple threads, where as people develop some of those skill sets, helping, you know, where, you know, learning how to set up a charity stream, that they could actually probably pretty readily go out and sort of extend that network in terms of helping other people set up charity streams as well.
That's really the hope. I mean, we hope that they come back to Stream for a Cause to do those charity streams. But we're finding every single day the number of streamers that we have is growing. And most of that is just people enjoying their time with Stream for a Cause. They're telling their other streamer friends about it, and we're literally growing every single day. And that's great. That word of mouth, that reminds me so much of like when you're doing something organically. We really want to stay with that grassroots feel, and that word of mouth, that feeling good about what you did, but also feeling like you made a difference. That's what encourages people to go out and tell their friends to do it too, because they had a good time. So it works out really well. But I think that as we're getting further and further down the line, we have some people who are so quick. They're just like, they're picking up on it. They know exactly what to do. They're five or six charity streams in. And I could be like, hey, you know, person, could you, I'm really, really busy. Can you make sure that they get set up on their thing? And I think that because they're also committed to what Stream for a Cause does, what it represents, which is that local community feel, they'll just jump in and do it. I've actually had them pull people aside all on their own and say, hey, you know, you might want to consider this, that, or the other thing for your alerts, because I think your community would really like it. And they're helping each other grow, and it's really beautiful to watch.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. So let me ask you a few questions about you personally. How did you get into gaming, or how did you get into streaming, or maybe both?
Yeah, so actually, I got into gaming. My grandma was a huge video game nut. Like, she loved playing video games. Yeah.
Awesome.
Like, she had the old, like, the regular Nintendo system, and she loved it. She was the only person I ever met that beat Pac-Man. I didn't even know you could beat Pac-Man.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, apparently you just get to the end and then it resets, but it was crazy. So she was a huge gamer, and that was just kind of what we would do Sunday afternoons. I was definitely a grandma's boy. So I was always at like grandma's house for the weekends, like doing fun stuff, and it was always game system. And I remember she bought me my first system, was the Super Nintendo. And we just played the just so many games on that thing. And to this day, my favorite game is still Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars. Hands down, my favorite game of all time. And we just played through all of those. She really liked to take that back seat. I kind of fell into the idea of playing with friends, because my grandma, she always liked to watch the story-based games. She always thought it was like watching TV. So I was like, okay. So she would get like, she'd always buy the guidebook and she'd be flipping through the guidebook until 3-4 o'clock in the morning. We're drinking coffee. I'm like 8. And she's like flipping through the guidebook and she's like, you need to go over there. You need to go over there. Actually, one of my charity streams coming up after she passed away was that she had left me all of her old video game stuff. And I'm going to be, I'm going to be finishing her Ocarina of Time playthrough on stream. So I have her where she ended her campaign. So we're going to be finishing that as a community.
Wow, that is a really great like legacy. And you know what's funny is as somebody of a slightly different generation, it's only relatively recently that video games have been old enough that it really could be this multi-generational thing. You know, I mean, if you just kind of got to look at late people, sociologist in me is showing, you look at people's lifespan and you take into account that video games didn't really hit popular use until what, 70, probably the 80s more realistically. I mean, like what, Pong in the 70s. But like the arcades, like the real cultural impact, I don't think it was still until the 80s. And so, you know, it's there aren't that many grandmothers who just had time to pass it on, who had it part of their lives and then were able to pass it on to multiple generations. But wow, that story of then being able to carry on that game and make it part of this organization is a great, great memorial to her. So that's I love that story.
Yeah, well, and that's what we always want to do. I think the number one thing that streamers can do, we kind of talked about this a few minutes ago, how can I be successful? It's being authentic. You know, if I jump into any Call of Duty stream, I can watch tons of people be really sweaty, just trying to like snipe people from across the map and landing trick shots. That doesn't tell me anything about them. It doesn't tell me their story. It doesn't make me connect with them in any way. To be, I think, a successful streamer means you are somebody that people want to be around, not just because you're skilled at the game. So we always try to encourage people to tap into what makes them unique. We've had streamers have done karaoke because they love it. They love to go out and sing with their friends. We've had streamers that have been playing music live as incentives. Like, I have learned that my streamers have some amazing talents. Drawing to poetry. I've had people write poems for people as thank yous, which is really cool. So they're pulling in what makes them unique as a person and turning it into something that they can utilize that as a skill to give back. And I think that that's a really beautiful thing to do. For me, it's talking. Like, I'm a fairly good speaker. So being able to share it with everybody else, like the meaning for me to come back into gaming to share, like there'll probably be tears during that stream, not even gonna lie, but that like being able to be vulnerable is going to be something that I think helps people connect. So being okay with being yourself and then also being okay with sharing who you are with your community. We don't all have to be pro gamers to be a good streamer.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of the evolutions maybe of streaming that I think is relatively recent. And again, of course, I would even suggest it's only been in maybe the past 5 years that the technology has been widespread enough to see this many people streaming. And I don't mean just like the access to webcams and computers. I mean like widespread high speed internet to the level that it is today. And I think that we're seeing this is my theory, right? So, you know, maybe in 5 years, like confirm with me if this is how it plays out. But I feel like that we're in this transition right now, accelerated, unfortunately, due to COVID, but accelerated where people are treating streaming more like performance art.
Yeah.
And I think before it was just, hey, I'm going to, you know, show off my playing video games, which can be a performance in and of itself. I'm not saying that's there's anything wrong with that, but you know, your descriptions of people writing poetry, or you know, I've seen other people like drawing online. Like I know Breen does that on our community, and it's so much more than that. Or you know, It is my occasional desire to do online lectures, or, you know, it's more than just video games, even though it is a lot of video games, and that's okay too.
Well, I mean, you can take it from I'm doing video games to I'm playing video games with friends. And I think that unless you're going into esports, unless you're a professional gamer, you know, based on your skill level at the game, you're more likely to attract people to your audience just by being genuine. People who are going to like hanging out with you. They want to feel like they're sitting on the couch while you're playing Dead by Daylight, or like they want to be what my grandma was to me, where it's like that person that's helping you from the back seat to get through a really hard part in the game, and then celebrating that you completed the game as a community. They're not after, you know, a lot of people aren't after speedruns. They're not after the top tier players. They're after people that they can relate to. And I think that that makes a huge difference. And it really talks about what you're saying there. People are seeking out communities online because it's a place where you can unabashedly be yourself. You're going to find somebody that's like you, whether they're in your hometown, whether they are in another country, you're going to find somebody who shares those sentiments with you about just your views on life. And from that, you're going to find community. And I think that's what Twitch is empowering a lot of people to do. And I think a lot of people turn to Twitch or streaming in general during COVID, like you said, because they couldn't socialize in those same ways. This allowed people to still stay connected in a way that is a really wonderful thing. And I don't see that going away now that people have found it.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of a story I heard from a student during COVID who was shared that she was now studying with a friend of hers online. And she said, actually, what they do is I don't know if they were using Zoom or what, they would turn on the video chat, and then they wouldn't actually talk. They would just study together. I mean, I'm sure they talked some, but you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they were exchanging notes back and forth or talking, like asking questions. They were just using the technology to be together. And to me, that's part of what streaming does that other media doesn't necessarily allow you to do. So if you're using, you're watching video on YouTube, it's still very one directional. And I think that even though if you're watching a live stream, it is often very one directional in that, you know, like one person is talking and other people are listening. But I still think there's the opportunity to connect and mm-hmm. to, you know, type in the chat and they respond. But even if you don't, just having that opportunity, I think creates a different kind of connection.
I think it does as well. And I think that's what's led to the success of Stream for a Cause as well, is you now have this person who's the face of a community. Everybody who streams is the face of their own community. They may be the only face that people see. You may not have a webcam, but you may be the voice. You may be whatever. And they trust that when you're putting on something like a charity stream, that you're doing the research to make sure it's going to a good place. And I think that's one of the pressures of charity streaming in general, is to make sure that your money's being used correctly. But they're trusting in their community leader, the person that they're coming to see to make those decisions. And if I'm going to donate money, it's going to go to a good place. And I think that that has led to Stream for a Cause being so successful, because we're able to guarantee that that is going to be used in a responsible way. Takes just that edge off, that makes people a little hesitant to do something like a charity stream, just because they never know.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point. And both from the perspective of the streamer, who, you know, is kind of speaking on behalf of their community and wants to do so in a reliable fashion and represent the organization. And I mean, it's a big world out there, and there are some bad actors, I guess. And so having some of that guarantee really does help. So let me ask, what's coming up next for Stream for a Cause?
Well, actually, we are getting ready to kick off our 61 Days of Giving campaign on June 1st. Starting June 1st, it is our 1-year anniversary. Well, in July, but you know, we're it's too big to just put into 1 month. We have streamers going almost every single day with charity streams through the month of June, and then every weekend filled in July. We're going to be aiming to raise $20,000. And actually, you're the first people I get to tell, but we're also one of our donors or, you know, community members will be able to win a Nintendo Switch from our summer event, which is going to be really cool. Yeah. So we're getting ready to kick that off. It's going to be in celebration of our 1 year anniversary. Like I said, it is also going to be it's being supported in part by Streamlabs, which is really, really great as well.
That's excellent.
They're kicking off our event. There'll be an article about it on the 22nd of May that you can be watching for with Streamlabs. And then also I'm hosting a kickoff event on June 1st that they'll be promoting as well, which will be really, really great. We're hoping to sign up tons of new streamers on that day.
And how do you connect to this event?
You can actually sign up. You can either sign up with Stream for a Cause. You can follow us on Instagram, where there'll be lots of updates there. I mean, I guess you could follow my Twitch channel. It's not overly exciting most of the time. but like for this event, it's going to be really popping. So that'll be fun. But yeah, so there's lots of ways that you can be connected. We always like to be connected with people who are just interested in the work that we're doing. A little bit closer to home on May 8th, we do have a Dead by Daylight tournament coming up. See who can stay off the hook the longest, I guess. Well, but that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the timing is good. This should be dropping in the podcast feed on May 3rd. So if you're listening to this, it's probably because it's May 3rd or later.
Oh, perfect. I feel like I'm talking into the future.
I know. I did have a time travel moment. If I was really good, then I could have created like an echo or reverberation sound or something like that. Not that sophisticated.
Yeah, I don't have those skills, so I don't judge you for it.
All right. I got one more question for you, Rob.
Sure.
And this is the question I ask all the people I interview. What does it mean to you to be a nerd?
I think what it means for me to be a nerd is realizing, like I said, I like being on the fringe. I like being able to approach all the things that I'm passionate about in a way that I can be completely unapologetic about enjoying them. I think that being a nerd is the freedom to enjoy those things in a meaningful way. And it turns out there's a lot more people out here than there are in there. There's a lot more people who have nerdy stuff. We have taken over the world. Everybody has the things that they nerd out for. And, you know, the people that don't enjoy those things, that don't have that connection to something that they just absolutely love, well, I think they're the ones missing out. They're the people that are on the inside. They're the ones that don't have the freedom that nerds have. So I think, yeah, being a nerd is the freedom to love what you love and not care who knows it.
Oh, you know, I really enjoyed that answer, both in terms of the idea that nerds have been on the fringe, which I think is a very real thing, but the idea that there is liberation on the fringe, and that, you know, maybe the fringe actually isn't really all that fringy. There's,
yeah,
like you're saying, a lot of people out here, and maybe it's been, oh, I mean, in some ways, as much an issue of marginalization as it is fringiness, and that it's a pretty good place.
Yeah, yeah. Before the internet, we were all kind of separated, but it turns out there's a bunch of us, and we're not going back. It's going to be like this. It's the nerd world now, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
And besides, we control the internet.
It's true. We'll shut it off. There's a big switch, I heard. So
that's another point where I wish I could do sound effects.
Right.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. I've enjoyed learning about your organization, and I suspect you guys out there in the No Name Nerd community will be hearing more from Rob in the future. And I would definitely encourage you to stop by his organization's website, streamforcause.org, right? And
yep.
Sign up and, you know, look for him on social media as well.
Yeah, we will be happy to see you. And if you have any questions, we are super approachable and on whatever way you're most comfortable.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
No, thank you.
Hey there. I'm excited to be welcoming some of our No Name Nerd community on to give shout outs to their stream. If you're interested in having your stream mentioned on our podcast, just head to anchor.fm/nonamenerd and make sure to click on the message button and then just record a message that is 30 seconds to a minute. Feel free to plug your stream and maybe you will be selected to appear on the air, just like the recording here.
I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to become a part of the Nerd Affiliate Program and a chance to find out about your podcast and stuff like that. I'm going to be listening to all of them pretty soon. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to give a big shout out to the No Name Nerd community. You guys have been absolutely incredible in getting everything started with my new streaming. And I really appreciate everything that you guys have done. I'm extremely professional, absolutely amazing products, and I'm just excited to be part of this team and can't wait to grow with the community.
As someone who's not really into podcasts, it's kind of hard to find one that I'm really interested in hearing and getting excited for the next one to come out. But you guys have knocked that out of the park. I feel like I really found my family, my group, my calling to listen to you guys' podcast, because there's just a lot of podcasts out there that claim to be, you know, video games and nerdy, and they just don't really hit the nail on the hammer as well as you guys do. So very job well done, like very well done job. I can't even formulate my words right. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next episode. Thanks so much for welcoming me to the community, and it means a whole lot as a up and coming content creator. Thanks.
So remember, if you are a nerd who loves to game, stream, read, watch, play, and are interested in promoting a welcoming and inclusive nerd culture, you belong with us. Just head to nonamenerd.com and join one of our online communities. If you want to get an in-depth understanding about how to grow the audience of your stream or bolster your followers, head to mynerdschool.com for professional courses for streamers and gamers looking to take their online presence to the next level. This is Brian from the No Name Nerd. Thanks for joining me.